Good morning, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, now that the president's big beautiful bill has cleared the House and is almost certainly headed for Senate approval, how are critics of its Medicaid provisions going to respond to changes in the program? Also this morning, To Your Health, May is Arthritis Awareness Month. For the 50 million Americans who deal with it, relief doesn't always have to come in the form of pharmaceuticals. With a return of warmer weather, it's time to switch up your beauty and skincare routine for the season. And the Findlay-Hancock County Public Library is gearing up for this year's Summer Read Program. Sarah Clevedens will tell us what's happening. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, May 28th, 2025. If you survived the Memorial Day holiday, congratulations, you did good. The Ohio State Highway Patrol is reporting a significant year-over-year drop in highway fatalities over this Memorial Day holiday. State Highway Patrol says 12 people died in a total of 11 crashes across the state between May 23rd and May 26th, and that compares to 26 fatalities that were reported Memorial Day weekend last year. So cutting that number of fatalities in half year over year is pretty significant. And obviously 12 people losing their lives is 12 too many, but being the fact that it is half of last year, that's a pretty significant improvement. Troopers also made over 400 arrests for intoxicated driving this past weekend. So all in all, a pretty successful weekend on the highway. So, commendation to anyone who is on the roads this weekend. You done good. Let's see, what else is going on? Among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, EA Sports has announced the cover athletes for their annual college football video game. Now, again, this is in recent years become a big thing. Many years ago, they couldn't really put college athletes on the covers of video games. It was, you know, prohibited by the NCAA rules and all of that. But now, the NIL changes. This is a thing. And Jeremiah Smith, Ohio State, is going to be one of the faces on EA Sports College Football 26, the other being Ryan Williams from Alabama, a fellow sophomore wide receiver. So Jeremiah Smith and Ryan Williams will grace the cover of the annual college football video game. Deluxe edition of the game has a separate cover featuring former players with Tim Tebow and Reggie Bush and current head coaches Kirby Smart of Georgia and Ryan Day of the Ohio State University will be on the cover of the deluxe edition. So now I'm not sure if this is a good thing or not. You've heard of the jinx, right? In the pro football video game, the Madden pro football video game jinx, where the player on the cover ended up getting injured or had a really bad season for one reason or another. It was like a curse to be on the cover of the pro football. We'll see if that plays out for the college football video game. But College Football 26 will be released on July 10th by EA Sports. So that is a pretty cool honor. Let's see. This story really caught my eye. You know how one of the big news stories of the past month or so has been the restart of collections for delinquent student loans? We've talked about it on the program. The Department of Education, the federal government, going after college loan borrowers who have not kept up with their payments after the payment requirements were restarted following COVID. And that is millions of Americans who fall into that category. And now They are taking hits to their credit scores from those delinquent student loans. An analysis by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York shows that credit scores have dropped by more than 100 points for over 2 million delinquent student loan borrowers as the status of those loans begins to be reported once again. A 100-point drop. Scores fell 150 points or more for more than 1 million in the first 3 months of the year. It is similar, they say, to the sharp drop that follows a personal bankruptcy filing. So this is nothing to mess around with. And if you don't get that situation straightened out, if you fall into that category and don't do anything about it, it can impact your ability to buy a car, buy a home, in some cases get a job. And even if you do qualify to make those major purchases, you're likely going to face higher interest rates, so it's going to cost you more to borrow money. So nothing good comes from that, just to underscore the importance of working to straighten out that situation with your student loan with the Department of Education. So kind of interesting there. And this is maybe somewhat of a related note. This week we're obviously going to get, well, it's tomorrow, right? The latest weekly unemployment numbers will come out, as they do every Thursday. And a new report from the Ludwig Institute for Shared Economic Prosperity is out with a report which finds that the functional unemployment rate is much higher than the official numbers. We've been hovering around a 50-year low, around 3, 4% unemployment. But the functional unemployment rate is much higher, they say. They looked at those who were unemployed, but also those who are underemployed. Either they are only working part-time because they can't find a full-time job, or people who are stuck in jobs that have no, that don't pay enough, barely enough to get by, but also don't have really any advancement opportunity or opportunity to for any upward mobility. And using those metrics, they report that the true unemployment rate is around 24%. So that's nearly one in four people. That is compared to the 4.2% most recently put out by the Labor Department. 24%. That's pretty dramatic number right there. Nearly one in four Americans unemployed or underemployed. So just something to think about there, something to chew on. And a couple of other items here. This item, I think, is definitely something to think about this morning as you get your day started here. The first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. A new study says that 3/4 of all moms in the U.S., mothers, are struggling with some degree of mental health issues. There's a study published this week by Columbia University. They looked at nearly 200,000 mothers over a 7-year period. So this is not a small sample. It is not a snapshot in time. This is a wide-ranging study lasting 7 years, and they found that only 25% of mothers report excellent mental health. So 3 out of 4 are struggling to one degree or another. 25% is all that report. And that is down from 38% in a study that came out in 2016. So over the past decade, we've dropped, 13%, which is significant. The study also showed declines in physical health among U.S. moms. So it's not just mentally, but physically they are struggling. And moms are not necessarily alone. I mean, that's very dramatic. But a separate research study that was published, and I'm not sure where this one actually came from, but it was a research survey finding the average American, we're talking male, female, the average American only feels fully healthy for 19 days a month. in the average month. We only feel fully healthy 19 days out of the average month, which is not bad if it's that month is February. But if we're talking any other month, that is not so good. This survey found that only 28% reported being in complete health at the time the survey was taken. At that moment in time, 72% described their wellness as moderate or poor. Respondents self-reported feeling fully healthy an average of just 19 days monthly, with common issues including digestive problems, fatigue, mood changes, and headaches. And 51% of the respondents in the survey live with recurring health problems lasting 6 months or longer. So we are just not healthy physically, mentally. Moms, dads, men, women, all of us, we just are not as healthy as we should be. And I know that it sounds like I'm starting on a sour note, but I bring all of this up to say, let's go out there and have a good day today. We don't have enough of them. So let's make a conscious effort today to make it a good day. What do you say? Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchak. Your WTOL 11 weather. Chance of showers today with a high around 60. Chance of showers tonight, a low in the mid-50s. Memorial Day was extra special in Central Ohio as Ohio's oldest living veteran of the U.S. Army remembered and honored his fellow soldiers who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms.
They say age is just a number. For Moses Eldridge, his number is almost hard to believe.
108.
Drafted in 1943 at the age of 17, he spent 3 years in the Army working in the 131st Engineers Regiment, the longest living World War II Army veteran in Ohio, has a message for those who serve now.
Remember that you are a soldier in the United States Army.
ONN's Kevin Landers reporting. You can see video of Finley's Memorial Day parade on our website. Hancock County Sheriff Michael Cortez held a special award ceremony to recognize several of his employees for their outstanding dedication, professionalism, and service. The sheriff says the awards highlight the incredible commitment his team members bring to their roles, often under high pressure and in emotionally charged situations. Among the awards presented was the Life Saving Award, which went to Communications Officer Jenna Huffman for assisting parents with life-saving CPR instructions during a medical emergency involving their 19-month-old child. See the full list of awards presented and pictures of the award winners in this story on our website. Family Resource Center, a Findlay-based nonprofit behavioral health clinic, has been named the 2025 Star Organization by the National Training and Technical Assistance Center for Child, Youth, and Family Mental Health. Family Resource Center says this national recognition honors organizations that model excellence in engaging youth and families, delivering mental health services, and leading collaborative, community-based systems of care. Learn more about this recognition and Findlay-based Family Resource Center in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Over the past couple of weeks, we spent quite a bit of time talking about this because it is the top item that seems to be garnering the most attention from the president's big, beautiful bill that has now cleared the House and is being worked on in the Senate. And that is the changes to the Medicaid program, provisions with respect to Medicaid moving forward. And joining us this morning is yet another of the organizations that are concerned, to say the least, over some of these changes that could be coming. And that is the group, nonprofit organization Protect Our Care, which is calling on Congress to put a stop to these funding cuts with their hands-off Medicaid campaign. CEO Leslie Dock is with us this morning. And Leslie, thanks very much for taking the time. First of all, we appreciate it. You actually have some statistics, and we've, like we said, we've been talking about this, but you have some specific statistics as they relate to how this would impact Ohioans and specifically those in Hancock County.
Well, you know, the first thing is, first, thanks for having me. This is an incredibly important issue for people. In Ohio, there are over 3 million people who are covered by Medicaid across the state. And it's estimated that as many as 250,000 will lose Medicaid as a result of what this bill is trying to do. And they, in Ohio, overall, 38% of all Ohio children are covered by Medicaid, 239,000 seniors, and over a million children, and nearly 400,000 people with disabilities. And of course, most rural hospitals rely on Medicaid to stay open. So we, the numbers show that this bill will rip healthcare away from 14 million Americans. And it's important to note that not only does it take aim at Medicaid, but it also takes aim at the Affordable Care Act, raising premiums for millions of people, making healthcare more expensive. And it does this just basically in order to give a pay for a tax break for the wealthiest of us and big corporations.
Proponents of this, and we spoke with Congressman Latta yesterday on the program. He, of course, is part of the Energy and Commerce Committee, who was in the room as they marked up the provisions with respect to Medicaid. And proponents will argue that the goal here is not to take children and low-income families off of Medicaid. It's to limit the availability or the accessibility to those that Medicaid was originally meant for, U.S. citizens, working poor, those who are not in the country legally or able but not working, should have some skin in the game in terms of should be contributing to this to the extent that they can. I'm sure that there will be others that get caught up in this, and this is one of the things that we talked about yesterday. But that is not an unreasonable goal.
Well, it's not an unreasonable goal, but it's not what this bill does. For example, it's important to know on the issue of immigration that not a single federal dollar is allowed to be spent on health insurance for people who are here illegally. So that's just not true. It doesn't happen. No federal dollars go there.
Can you honestly say that no federal dollars go there at all? I mean, that's certainly not what we hear anecdotally.
Well, it's the law. And so that is, that's very clear. It's not allowed. So that's the first thing. No federal dollars go there. And then on the work requirements that they claim, they are completely onerous. They are asking people, for example, to, every month show their work records. And I think all of do it online, do it on paper. We all know how difficult that, keeping up with that is. So it's really, they have piled on very onerous requirements with a purposeful goal of kicking people off. And that, then as I mentioned, they are also attacking the Affordable Care Act. They're raising people's premiums. They're making it harder to enroll for that coverage, whether you're working or not. If you lose your job, they can kick you off the rolls. So it's just not true that you can reach, that the number that people are going to lose coverage, 14 million Americans, those are people who are not working on an ongoing basis. So it's just none of the analyses agree with what the Republicans are saying. So they know that it seems common sense, but it doesn't describe what they're doing.
So let me ask you this, and this is the same question that we've asked others that we have talked to on this same subject. And like I said, we've visited this topic many times over the past couple of weeks. Does this, at the end of the day, the amount that is being spent at the federal and at the state level on Medicaid is unsustainable? There has to be some change. Do we have to improve this system? Because if we don't, the escalating costs are going to they're going to bankrupt us federally, statewide. You know, the growing number of millions upon millions upon billions of dollars being spent on this. Does this reopen the entire debate on how we afford health care, how we pay for health care, and the affordability of it in this country?
Well, health care is too expensive in this country. Too many people have
it. It's the one thing everybody agrees on.
But the way to fix it is not this way. First, Medicaid is the most efficient health care system in America. Only 2% goes to overhead. It also spends the highest percentage of its dollars on actual health care as opposed to administrative tasks. Mm-hmm. It is far more efficient. And these are not my numbers. These are well-established numbers. It spends far less on paperwork than any other health care company. Secondly, the last thing you want to do if you want to save money in healthcare is to deny people healthcare. Because what happens is, you don't know you have high blood pressure until you end up in the emergency room with a stroke. You don't know you have high sugar. So if you want to save money in healthcare overall, the first thing you want to do is have people insured and get preventative care.
That is a valid point that has been made many, many times as well, and certainly a consideration that is a point well taken. Let me ask you this, though, and this may be the most important question in my mind, because, like we said, this bill has passed the House. It is not a stretch to say this is going to pass the Senate. I mean, there may be some tweaks to the numbers. There may be some adjustments in the final, the final number may not be what it is right now. But it's going to pass the Senate. It's going to land on the president's desk. He's going to sign it. So there are going to be changes to the Medicaid program. There are going to be provisions, ones that you don't like. What then? What do you do? I mean, I understand there's nobility in fighting the good fight and being out here railing against the changes that will hurt potentially millions of Americans. But what are you and other organizations doing to address the problem that you know is ultimately coming?
Well, that's the worst part about this. There's no way that civil society, foundations, individuals can make up the loss of nearly $800 billion. And if you add the hits on the Affordable Care Act, over $1 trillion in cuts. There's no way to find that money. So what's going to happen is we will go back to an America where millions more are insured, millions more have medical debt, millions of people die prematurely because they haven't gotten preventative care. There's nothing any of us can do about that. That's the harsh reality of this. And that's what we're going to be stuck with. Now, politically, the voters will make a choice. Because Medicaid is incredibly popular with Republican and Trump voters. 40% of Trump voters say that they are either on Medicaid or they know someone on Medicaid. Mm-hmm. Rural hospitals, jobs are going to be lost. That is going to be the stark reality. Politically, that is going to be a huge problem and a huge conversation in 2026. But there's no way to rectify this after they have it done People will lose their insurance. People will get sick. People will die. People, you know, will not go to be able to get the care they need. There's no other way.
We will leave it there for now as we continue to follow the story as this bill progresses through the process. Again, passed by the House, now looking for Senate approval. We'll see what changes might be made. But again, Protect Our Care CEO Leslie Dock with us this morning. Mr. Dock, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris.
To your health this morning, May is Arthritis Awareness Month. Did you know that there are more than 100 different types and severities of arthritis, making it the leading cause of disability in America? And according to the CDC, not only do more than 50 million people in the U.S. suffer from some form of arthritis, more than half of those have cases so severe they negatively impact a patient's ability to engage in everyday activities. But relief does not always necessarily have to come in the form of medication. Dr. Steve Kanoff is a chiropractor with information this morning about natural and safe alternatives for arthritis pain that may be the solution you are looking for. Dr. Kanoff, what are the most common types of arthritis? We mentioned, you know, there are 100 different forms of this. So can I narrow this down a little bit? What are the most common types? What are the causes? Give us some background on this.
Sure. The two main types that exist out there that a lot of people experience are osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. Osteoarthritis is a kind of arthritis that I think a lot of people think of when they hear that term. It's where your joints just wear out over time. They start to degenerate because of overuse, injury. Athletes tend to get osteoarthritis in different areas of their body just because of the amount of physical stress that they go through. Mm-hmm. Rheumatoid arthritis is a little bit different. Now, your joints still break down over time, but the cause of rheumatoid arthritis is actually your body is increasing inflammation in the joint space, and it's actually attacking itself, causing your joints to wear out over time. So ultimately, ending up with arthritis, but two different paths for why that happens.
Okay, so how does chiropractic care then potentially help those with these forms of arthritis?
Chiropractic care is really all about maintaining joint health as a part of what we do. And part of that is making sure that the joints are aligned properly. So sometimes they get stuck out of position, and we want to make sure that they're in the right spot. Secondly, we want to make sure that it's moving as well as it can. When a joint is unstuck and it's moving at its best, that helps prevent arthritis and degeneration going forward. Additionally, when a joint is moving really well, that allows people to engage in physical activity, move their bodies more easily, and staying active is one of the most important ways to manage all those aches, pain, and stiffness if you suffer from arthritis.
Well, it's kind of interesting, and I think that's a point worth underscoring, because as you were saying, in some cases, the arthritis may be brought on by a lot of rigorous activity, and yet maintaining activity is actually one way of making sure that those joints remain as healthy as possible.
Definitely a little bit contradictory to a lot of people.
It would seem that way, yeah.
And on top of that, it's hard to feel motivated to move when your body isn't feeling well. I think we've all been in that spot at some point where our bodies don't feel great. We want to stay on the couch or in bed or whatever it is. But oftentimes, moving is so important for breaking through those aches and pains. Now, it doesn't have to be strenuous exercise, and I think that's the thing that people need to think about. Mm. We don't recommend going and throwing around heavy weights to get your body moving. It's simply going out for a walk, doing some light yoga, doing some light stretching, go for a swim, these really low-impact ways to move your body. That's what we talk about when we recommend moving your body. It's not going off and doing some deadlifts or something like that.
Right.
That could make it much worse.
Which actually kind of leads to the next question that I wanted to ask, maybe some tips on how to alleviate some of that arthritis pain.
Staying active, like we talked about, is very important, and hopefully I provided some clarifications around what active looks like.
Yeah.
It's not being overly aggressive with your body. But some of the other tips and tricks is just watching what you eat, especially if you have rheumatoid arthritis. Your diet plays a big role in how your body can feel. We've all probably heard the terms anti-inflammatory foods or supplements versus inflammatory foods. For people that have rheumatoid arthritis and even osteoarthritis, it's important to avoid those inflammatory foods and get more anti-inflammatory foods into your diet. Some of those inflammatory foods are things like overly processed breads, grains, things that contain a boatload of sugar like soft drinks, candy, any of those kind of things. And then actually alcohol contains a lot of sugar too that can feed your body's inflammation and make you feel a lot worse.
One of the other things, and I again, this is important to point out that, you know, these are very important tips, and they can help folks in terms of relieving some of the pain, but this is not something that you want to self-diagnose or self-treat.
Correct. Yeah, with any kind of health concern, it's really important that you find the right provider that you can trust and you can partner with so that they can help you understand what's happening in your body, what's going on, and more importantly, how can you feel better and reach some of the goals that you want to reach. And some of those things can include really just easy things that we hear all the time. So it's not mind-blowing information when we say people need to focus on their sleep, get 7 to 8 hours, but in reality, how many of us are actually getting that good amount of sleep?
And, right.
The other piece is just managing stress. We have a lot of mental, a lot of physical stress that builds up in our body, and we have to find good outlets for that. Otherwise, it doesn't just make arthritis worse. It can make things like heart disease worse. It can impact your gut health. And these are, again, not anything we don't know, but it's just, how do we get better at implementing some of those things?
Again, as we mentioned, May is Arthritis Awareness Month. Chiropractor Dr. Steve Kanoff is with us this morning. Where do we get more information?
For more information, we keep it easy. You can visit thejoint.com.
Dr. Kanoff, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Well, with the summer season here, and hopefully it's going to warm up soon. We keep hearing that it's going to. Summer taking its own sweet time and getting here. But once it does, this is a time when you have to adjust your skincare routine. It's not the same this time of year as it was during the winter months. And so joining us this morning is multimedia reporter, influencer, and beauty editor Millie Almodovar with some summer skincare tips. This can be kind of tricky, Millie. How do you go about, what's the mindset or what's the routine that we should be getting into here in the summer months?
Well, first things first, I know that you have heard this a million times, but it really is important. Make sure you're drinking water, 8 glasses a day, at least. I can instantly tell if someone doesn't drink enough water by looking at their skin. It's usually dry, it's usually dehydrated, it looks dull. Water, water, water. Make sure you're getting those 8 glasses in. Now, when shopping for your skincare, I know it's tempting to get all the trending products. We see them every day on Instagram, on our social medias, but you really want to make sure that you're, when getting your skincare, you're getting products that are reliable, that are functional. You want to use tried and true products that actually work. And I'm going to be showing you 3 today that are pretty amazing.
Okay. And that's important because, you know, like you mentioned, there are an awful lot of products out there. They're all making, you know, these incredible claims. So what are the ones that will actually do what they claim to do?
Okay. Well, first, we've got to get into the feet because it's probably one of the most overlooked areas in the body, and it's so important. So this is the O'Keeffe's Healthy Feet. The Okie's Healthy Feet is a concentrated foot cream that's going to heal, it's going to repair and relieve dry, cracked feet. Now you're going to say goodbye to those dry, cracked heels with this moisturizing foot cream that really penetrates thick skin and gives you visible results in just one use. This is great if you like walking barefoot around your house. You really need O'Keefe's Healthy Feet. If you, for a post-hike recovery, you can take it to the salon with you when you get a pedicure. You really, really want to have this on you. It's hypoallergenic. It's non-greasy. It's fast absorbing. And it's safe for all skin types. Even skin that is impacted by diabetes, you can use the O'Keefe's Healthy Feet.
All right, very good. And you're right, that is something that is probably goes more overlooked than any other part of the body this time of year. What else have we got?
Well, let's talk about the O'Keefe's Hand and Body Lotion, because it provides a light hydration that lasts. Now, a lot of people think, oh, it's the summertime, I don't need to hydrate as much. You absolutely do need to hydrate. Now, the problem is finding a lotion that doesn't leave your hands with that sticky or with that heavy feel. Well, the O'Keefe's Hand and Body Lotion, this product delivers 48 hours of hydration without that sticky feel other lotions leave behind. It's non-greasy. It's fast absorbing. It's so, so, so great for hydrating, again, without that sticky, heavy feel. Everyone talks about SPF, but you really never hear anyone talking about SPF for the lips, which is so important. Let me introduce you to the O'Keefe's Lip Repair. Not only does this have SPF 35, but this is a highly effective lip balm that's going to heal, it's going to relieve, and it's going to repair dry, cracked lips. And it has that SPF, which is so important. One application provides protection against dryness, even if you're eating and even if you're drinking. Now, it has 7 moisturizing agents in this, so it's going to help soothe lips, but it works on any lips in any condition. And what I absolutely love about that is that not only does it have those 7 moisturizing agents, but it has that SPF, which is so important. Comes in flavors and non-flavors. You can, so both men and women love it. Absolutely recommend the O'Keefe's Lip Repair.
Very good. By the way, speaking of SPF, obviously, you know, when we talk about skin in the summertime, got to make sure that we are protecting it with sunscreen and all of that. But What's the best way to layer that? I mean, we're talking about moisturizers and all of that. And we also have the sunscreen. We put the sunscreen first and then the moisturizer on top. Can we apply that?
That's wrong.
You know, how do we do this?
Yeah, that's a great question. You always want to make sure that the sunscreen is your last step, because
okay,
the sunscreen is a barrier. So the moisturizer goes first, you know, any toners, anything. And then the sunscreen is always the last ingredient.
Okay. And
the last product, rather.
And then if we, and then as we're reapplying, we don't have to reapply everything, though, when we have to reapply sunscreen.
You're just going to reapply the sunscreen, and you have to reapply every 2 hours. That's actually not a myth. You really do have to reapply every 2 hours.
Yeah. Anything else that we need to keep in mind when talking about summer skincare here?
Just make sure that you're wearing that SPF, because it is so super important. Even wearing it on a cloudy day is important too.
Yes.
And even inside your home, we know that the UVA rays of the sun can actually penetrate through your windows.
Hmm.
So you really want to make sure that you always have that SPF on hand.
Yeah, I bet that's something that folks don't really think about very often. Again, Millie Almodovar with us this morning talking summer skincare tips. Where do we get more information?
For more information on the O'Keefe's brand, go to O'Keefe'sCompany.com. And then to purchase these amazing finds, go to Amazon.com.
Millie, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oaks on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
I love this first story. I love this first story. It's out of Turkey, and it is proof that despite our differences, different cultures, different languages, different religions, whatever it might happen to be, around the globe, we are all just human beings. We're all human beings that sometimes make bad decisions or get ourselves into embarrassing situations, and we can all relate. We can all assimilate. This is a story out of Turkey. Following a night of drinking with friends, Beyhan Mutlu went missing in the woods. Concerned for his whereabouts, his wife alerted authorities. When they were unable to reach the 50-year-old, they sent out a search party. They gathered volunteers, law enforcement, first responders, rescue teams, this huge search party that they went out searching for Mr. Mutlu. Unknowingly, Mr. Mutlu, who had sobered up and was wandering around in the woods, stumbled upon his own search party and decided to lend a hand with the rescue efforts. It wasn't until one of the rescuers called out his name that he realized that they were looking for him. Mr. Mutlu humorously responded, "I'm here." He was part of the rescue party. And he was promptly escorted home. I'm sure that he got an earful from his wife. He was unknowingly part of his own search party. Oh, man. I love that. He's got a story to tell. You won't believe the party that we had this weekend. Okay. Elsewhere in the broken news this morning, a family in Kentucky is cleaning up after a bear fell through their kitchen ceiling. A bear fell through the kitchen ceiling. Now, that's not something you run into every day, I would think. The Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife says it was determined that the black bear had actually climbed up a ladder, got into an opening in the home's attic, and then crashed through the ceiling, landing on the kitchen stove. Wildlife officers called to the scene were able to get the bear out of the home by getting it to run through an open door. No injuries were reported. But again, they've got a story. Can you imagine trying to explain that to the insurance company? You call the insurance adjuster and say, "You're not going to believe this, but a bear fell through our ceiling." And I'm sure the insurance company is like, "Yeah, sure." Yeah, sure. But it did. I'll bet this family in Denver wishes that it had been a bear falling through the ceiling after enduring their fifth car crash in 16 months at the intersection of Monaco Street Parkway and 17th Avenue. This family is now considering selling their home of 27 years. Five car crashes into their home in the past year and a half. The most recent incident involved a car with three teenagers traveling at high speed on Saturday night. Dave Stoll recounted the harrowing event. A car came straight down 17th, through the median, through the intersection, crashed through the protective boulders that we had at the edge of the property, and launched itself right into the house. Launched itself right into the house. The problem is that at night, drivers can't see that the road veers to the left sharply, leading to multiple crashes impacting their property. They're probably getting tired of trying to explain all of this to their insurance company as well. They're looking to sell their house. 27 years they've been there. Suddenly it's become a problem. Wow. Let's see. And a couple of other items here in the broken news. You would think that, given that they have wings themselves, pigeons would not need to bother with the hassles of commercial air travel. And yet, that didn't stop not one but two birds from boarding a recent Delta flight out of Minneapolis-St. Paul. Crazy story. After the aircraft door had been closed, a pigeon was discovered in the cabin. It was removed by baggage handlers, and the flight then, you know, they closed the doors and resumed the taxiing process. However, then a second pigeon was discovered, forcing the plane to cancel its takeoff and return to the gate. Once that pigeon was removed and the plane refueled at that point, they closed the doors and they taxied out again, with a flight attendant asking that everyone on board check under their seats and in their bags for any more possible stowaways. Which, of course, drew laughter from the passengers, to which the flight attendant responds, "Yes, it's funny, but seriously, please check for birds." Needed more birds. They had to actually cancel the takeoff. They were taxiing, found the pigeon, came back. They were taxiing again, found another pigeon, came back. Man, can you imagine being late for an important business meeting or something and, again, trying to explain that to your boss? Seriously, boss, there were two pigeons on the plane. I had to stop and get two pigeons off the plane. And finally, in the broken news this morning, this is kind of an oddly heartwarming story. Cats may have 9 lives, but as far as we know, humans only have 1. And perhaps that's why 29-year-old Oliver Widger quit his managerial job at a tire company in Oregon after receiving a concerning health diagnosis. Despite being thousands of dollars in debt, he liquidated his retirement savings and bought a sailboat with a plan of traveling around the world with his cat. That's how he was going to spend whatever time he had left. He was going to sail around the world with his cat. His first destination, Hawaii, where the pair arrived on Oahu, greeted by fans, reporters, and even the governor. Word got out because of his posts on social media. He became something of a viral celebrity. He said, "You're grinding at your job all day long, and it doesn't really matter how much money you make at this point. Everybody's just trying to do enough to get by, and that just wears you out." Mr. Widger says of his recent life decisions, "The world's in a weird place, and I think people have seen that it is possible to just break out." Gets that health diagnosis. What would you do if you got that that diagnosis? Sold everything, bought a boat, sailing around the world with his cat. That is today's broken news report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
The Hancock Sports Hall of Fame golf outing is Friday, June 27th at Hillcrest Golf Club in Findlay. Register at HancockHOF.com under the events tab. Registration fee is $300 per team or $75 per person. Proceeds from the outing benefit the Hancock Sports Hall of Fame, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. The Hancock Sports Hall of Fame golf outing, Friday, June 27th at Hillcrest. Register at HancockHOF.com. This message provided by WFIN.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. This just in, adulting is hard. And a lot of college graduates either have already or very soon will find that out. A new survey of 2,000 college graduates from both last year and this year has found, according to the survey, 54% say that salary negotiations are more anxiety-inducing than ending a relationship, more stressful than breaking up with a partner. Salary negotiations. That was at the top of the list. 54% said that was the top anxiety-inducing adulting thing that they had to do. Among other adulting tasks that are stressing them out, they're sources of stress, graduates were split on whether filing taxes or assembling IKEA furniture was more confusing. 52% said the taxes were more confusing, and 48% would go with the IKEA furniture. Only 35%, this is kind of the serious part of this, only 35% these college graduates had created and stuck to a budget, while fewer had written checks or balanced a checkbook. 35% created and stuck to a budget. Only 26% had ever written a check. Only 22% had ever balanced a checkbook. Well, you know, with the computers these days and electronic payments and all of that, I can't remember the last time I wrote a check. And I'm a long way from college graduate age. So that's not necessarily surprising. But 71% of those graduates in the survey are worried about their next steps in life. And less than half, only 42%, felt very sure about their post-graduation plans. Now, this was interesting for 2024 graduates, so the ones that got their degree last year. 66% said their future roadmap went as planned. Two-thirds said it went as planned. 71% said the year after graduation was better than they expected. So maybe some hope for this year's grads. Interestingly, more male 2024 grads felt very prepared financially than female graduates, although none felt really financially solid. It was 39% versus 27% male versus female, respectively. However, this year's graduates, 2025 grads, overall felt more mentally than financially prepared to enter the workforce. Mentally prepared, maybe not financially, but mentally prepared. So that's a good thing. The top worries of this year's recent graduates, just going down the list, 44% said getting a job in my field of study was the number one concern. Paying off student loans, paying off student debt, 35% cited that as their top worry. 33% said just paying my bills every month. 24% said the most stressful or the top worry, most stressful concern or top worry was finding an affordable place to live. One in four worried about that. 11% worried about making new friends. Because again, it's like starting over, just like moving from high school to college, starting over once again, finding new friends. And 9% said their top worry was being away from family and current friends. Just 9%, but it's there as a concern. So the things that this year's college graduates are stressed out about. Time to find out what's happening. Coming up, the Findlay-Hancock County Public Library. The big thing that is happening, summer read is about to kick off once again. Sarah Klevenitz is here. Always a big event for the library summer read program now that the kids are out of school and we all have, hopefully, a little extra free time to catch up on our reading. You've got the kickoff coming up next week, right?
June 2nd. Summer read runs June 2nd to July 26th. So we'll be kicking off at the main library on the 2nd with festivities running from 10 to 1 and then again 4 to 6. We're really excited to have some special guests from the community. So Findlay City Parks and Recreation, Awakening Minds Art, Hancock County Farmers Market will all be taking part with us for our kickoff. And there will be some face painters there from 11 to 1. That's always a big hit.
So that's all happening on Monday. What is the theme this year for
this summer? Year's theme is Color Our World, so art. It's getting very colorful at the library already.
Okay. All right, very good. And for those who have not participated before, how does this work?
So it couldn't be easier. You read, you report what you've read, you're entered to win prizes. We've got programs for all ages from birth through adults. We use a Read Squared app. So you can just download this app from the library's webpage, set up an account, you report what you read. You can count either the minutes you've read or the books you've read, however you prefer to track it.
Yeah.
There's some fun games in the app as well. There'll be special codes at different programs you go to that let you enter as well. And then all of that reading puts you into some prize drawings.
So goodies to give away.
Goodies to give away, yes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, reading is always its own reward.
Yeah, that's very true. And, you know, you were mentioning this, and I think it's worth underscoring. We think of this as a program for kids, but it's for all ages.
It's for all ages. And, you know, adults can set a great example for all the kids in their lives. It's so important for kids to keep reading in the summer so that they don't lose the progress they've made during the school year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, often during the school year, we are all busy and and we don't have as much time to read, and kids have to read what they have to read for school, for class.
Right.
This is a time to really just relax and read whatever you want.
Make it fun again.
Make it fun.
And the kickoff is just one thing. You have other things that are planned during the course of the summer read program.
We do.
Right?
We have tons of programs all summer long, but I do want to make sure I mention that we'll kick off at our Arlington branch also on Saturday, June 7th.
Okay.
11 to 1. There'll be face painters there at 11:30. And then for our bookmobile stops, we'll do our bookmobile parties on the week of June 9th, just at our regular bookmobile stops that week.
So going all over the...
We'll party all June.
Let's mention that the bookmobile stops. What is the schedule? I don't mean to put you on the spot. What is the schedule for the?
Well, I'm going to refer you to back to our website, finleylibrary.org. You can get all of the schedule. You would think at this point in my library career, I would have that memorized because we've been going to the same stops on the same days for years.
And
but
I did kind of throw that out at you. But for anyone who may not know when the bookmobile is near you, that information
Absolutely.
Is on the website.
Visiting all of those smaller communities.
Okay.
In Hancock County.
That's not the only thing. That's the big thing that's going on at the library. You have some other stuff that is that is happening as well. I know you got Book Bingo actually tomorrow on the schedule.
And Book Bingo is always a big hit. It's exactly what it sounds like. You play bingo, you win books, which we do for a variety of ages over time. The adult Book Bingo is relatively new, and it's really taken off. Our adults love that program.
Yeah. What else is going on at the library coming up here?
Our story time schedule will start up again in June. Makerspace throughout the program or throughout the summer as well. Stitching Together Craft Circle comes up June 3rd. So you know, if you've got a craft and just needed some time to sit and work on it with a few other crafty people, that's a great opportunity on June 3rd and 17th this month. Writer Support Group. I don't think we talk about that very often, but that's a regular monthly get together for folks who are working on their own writing. They can gather and write together on their work in progress or start
fresh
with a
prompt. Why just read when you can write?
Exactly. You could write the next great book that somebody will read for summer read.
Absolutely. And again, like we said, more information on the website, but all of these things going on throughout the month of June, and the big thing is summer read. So for those who are looking for some titles to add to read for summer read, or you know, just because, what is new?
Yeah, so Riley Sager has a historical thriller coming out this month, With a Vengeance. In 1940s, a railroad tycoon loses one of his trains to a sinister explosion. Many World War II soldiers are killed, including his son. Then in 1954, his daughter, the last survivor of the family, is out for vengeance. And so she has six suspects for that train explosion, invites them all as guests on a luxury train, but then one of those passengers is murdered, and she realizes she's maybe set up something a little more sinister than she had imagined. So that publishes on June 10th. Holds list is available.
Okay.
For our psychological suspense fans, Don't Let Him In by Lisa Jewell publishes June 24th. Again, holds list is available. So three women are connected by one man with questionable intentions. Nina is a grieving widow, but has met Nick Radcliffe, who brightens her spirits. Nina's daughter's a little suspicious, thinks that he's too good to be true. In the neighboring town, Martha is suspicious of her husband, Alistair, who says he's been traveling for work more frequently. And so all three of these women will face a darker truth than they imagined.
Guessing that those stories all intertwine.
I'm going to imagine so, yes.
A couple of new titles that will be out. And again, you, folks can place those on hold now.
Absolutely can.
More information on all of the happenings at the Findlay-Hancock County Public Library are at the website. And if folks want to participate in summer read, we mentioned the kickoff is on Monday. But if you can't make it on Monday,
sign up anytime. Program runs June 2nd to July 26th, and you can sign up anywhere in there.
Okay. And make sure that you get out and, as we're talking about all of the things we're going to do this summer, make sure that we take some time and read for pleasure. That's what
Absolutely.
It's all about. That's what it's all about. Again, Sarah Klovidence with the Findlay-Hancock County Public Library with us this morning. Sarah, thanks very much for dropping by.
Thank you.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. Thanks to all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each day on the program at our webpage. Check us out online at goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, could have seen this coming. Operators of those popular buy now, pay later programs say losses are mounting as more consumers fall behind on their commitments. And the system is actually set up to make it more difficult to get back on track. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.